Jackie, that is so normal. That is so normal because that's how you break a habit. You have a habit that's put into your mind, and when you say going to church, that's the trigger it needed. It fires the old way of thinking. And the only way you can replace it is you have to stop it and start a new path. Once you start a new path, then you can build a new habit. That habit is locked in there. But it doesn't have to be the habit you follow, if you see what I'm saying. You can make that whole new path, and with that whole new path, you'll set a new habit. That's renewing your mind. Okay? And that's why I'm saying I do think that some of our salvation is organic as well as being, quote, spiritual. This isn't just a matter of people getting smarter spiritually. There are some things happening with us that have made us children of God. Okay. All right. Well, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer here. We'll get to our study. Father, we do ask in the name of Jesus that you'll open our minds and our hearts to understand the things that you've written in your word. We know that this came out of your mind, and that these words were language that you used to impart to people an understanding of who you are, what you're about, and what our lives are and what they're about. But for us to understand that, having been separated from you and iniquity having separated us from you, it's difficult for us to think those things. We know this, your Spirit renew us, and we ask for that tonight. We ask that you'll open our hearts, our minds, and our understanding that we might think the way you think. We come before you in humility, in trust, and in the fear of the Lord, knowing that you are our Creator. You're the one that we answer to for everything. You are that one true God, and we give you praise for that tonight. Now thank you as you open our minds and hearts to these things. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. All right. We start tonight going back with 2 Corinthians 10:3, and again, this has to do with spiritual warfare. Okay? For though we walk in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, we do not war according to the flesh. So even though I'm in a body here, I can't fight the war that I need to fight in this body. I can't just go duke people out. I can't shoot them. I can't stab them. Can't spear them. I don't have any of that because those weapons are useless in this. But he says this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God. Notice that it's in God. It's not in ourselves. It's not something we're doing ourselves. They are mighty in God, and they are for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and then bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So that's where I want to start with us right now. We've been looking previous weeks. I think Al dealt with you last week on the things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. I believe that he went back over the gates of the soul that we talked about and how if you don't guard those gates, information can pass through there that allows an adversarial thought to camp. And once it gets camped, it wants to build a foundation. Once it builds a foundation, it wants to build a building, and that becomes a stronghold in your life. And it's those strongholds that the truth of God tears down. Okay, and truthfully, when you came into this whole faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you already had a number of strongholds that were built in your life. The iniquities of the fathers had built some strongholds in your life already. Those are old ways of thinking. You can call it flesh if you like. Those are old ways of thinking that you default to easily. You don't have to say, you know, today I think I'm going to walk in the flesh. No, today you have to say, I'm going to walk in the Spirit today. Because you already know how to walk in the flesh. That's the default that's in your system. You got a default that goes there. And that's the one you go back to just as soon as it happens. You know, I'm sure most of you know what I'm speaking of when I say that, but here in the office, we used to have two or three printers. Now we just have the one. But when we had the two or three printers, we had to be careful and set it for what we wanted it to do. And this one here that we have right now does tricks. I mean, it's a fantastic thing. You can set it to, well, this one I don't think you can, but you could set it to punch holes, to staple all your pages together so that I could take it from my computer, hit a little button, and it goes right up to that printer and does all those things. But I had to set those things because it defaulted to no holes punched, no staples, one sheet. I had to set it to do two-sided printing. You follow what I'm saying? Because it had a default mode, and the default mode just went back. You have a default mode, and your default mode is to go back to the flesh. So all you have to do is get unintentional about walking in Christ, and you'll walk in the flesh. Does that make sense to everybody? It's just that simple. Okay. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It comes right out of Proverbs where we were warned. I had that down here too. Let me come back to that. I think it's Proverbs 25. Let me see. Proverbs 23. Listen to what it says here. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, observe carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward the heaven. Do not eat the bread of a man who is stingy. Do not desire his delicacies, for he is like one who is inwardly calculating. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the morsels that you have eaten and waste your pleasant words. I thought I said it here. I guess I got the wrong verses. It warns us that don't do that because as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And if he's already thinking stingy, and the stingy guy is offering you something, you ought to know right away something's wrong. Stingy guys don't offer things. So know this, his heart's going to be stingy. So he's got a reason for offering you something. That was the whole point of it. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Let's talk about the importance of thoughts. Thoughts determine our actions, our motivations, and our moods. Think how easy it is to change somebody's thinking. When you get up in the morning, what's your day look like? What determines what kind of mood you'll be in? I will tell you, it's your morning thoughts. If you're getting up in the morning and you're thinking what you thought when you went to bed last night, if you got up and you're thinking last night when you went to bed, oh, I dread tomorrow's supposed to snow. Okay? When you wake up, what do you think your mind is bringing back? Oh, I don't want to get up. It's going to snow. And because that's what it brings it up, it sets the mood for you. Now, let me ask you, while you're sitting in bed, do you know whether it snows or not? No. So you're anticipating that it might snow. You're anticipating you're going to have to start the car early. You're anticipating that you're going to have to clean the windows off. You're anticipating things. And you're thinking, I'm going to have to get up earlier. I don't want to have to do that. I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to change my schedule. I'm going to have to. And you're already anticipating things that have not happened. And in that anticipation, it's setting your mood for you. Thoughts did that. Just thoughts. If you were upset with your spouse or upset with a family member when you went to bed, what do you think you are when you wake up? Because your mind it didn't get resolved last night. You didn't. That's why the scriptures warn us, don't let the sun go down in your wrath. The mind has to resolve itself in the evening. Even if you do no more than just write down on a piece of paper what you're thinking about. That's why journaling is a good thing to do. You can write down on a piece of paper and download the junk in your mind that's unresolved. At least when it's on paper, the mind says, I'm free. I don't have to be thinking about that. But if you don't, if you just roll over and you're angry with somebody, When you wake up in the morning, the mind did not get that resolve, so it brings it back up again as a reminder, we have to resolve this. We have to resolve this. Well, that sets your mood. That sets what you're all about. Everybody see where I'm coming from? So when you get on the highway, you're already set with your mind in an unresolved state of anger. And it's going to be so much easier for you to get upset with somebody when they cut you off. They didn't signal. They didn't whatever. Because you didn't resolve it the night before. You kept it overnight. And now, you may not remember all the details from the last night. But you know enough to know that this is the mood you're in. But if you can get up and say, I am so grateful today for another day. I am so grateful today that I had a night of rest. I am grateful I've got food to eat. I've had a warm bed to sleep in. I had a warm house to be in. I am so grateful. And today I get to go to work. I'm so grateful for a job that income's coming in and I'll have something to pay the bill. I am so grateful. Guess what? That will totally change the way you think. When you add to that exercise, another great area. There's a great work going on with John Rady, who is a Harvard professor, head of the department there of, what's it called? The Harvard Neuroscience Department. He's done great and extensive work on the effect of exercise on the brain. R-A-T-R-A-I-T-I, something like that. If you get a chance, look up some of his stuff. He's got wonderful things about exercise. It's just fantastic. It changes the size of your hippocampus. It changes the size of your prefrontal cortex. Just something as simple as exercise. So if you combine good thoughts, grateful thoughts, with exercise, you can start your day out a whole lot better. Thoughts. Just thoughts. Everybody see what I'm saying? Thoughts are so important because they'll determine our actions, our motivations, our mood. Thoughts backed with faith can totally change perceived reality. Listen to what Jesus told us. He told us we could move mountains if we thought correctly and trusted. If we set our minds to saying, I want to do God's will and this mountain is the way of God's will, I believe I need the mountain moved, the mountain would move. Now, most of us aren't going to think that way, so it's going to be difficult for us to move a mountain. But basically it's saying, if obstacles are in the way, and I think those obstacles are in the way of doing God's will, not just in the way of me being happy, but they're in the way of doing God's will, then I can pray, and in faith, that mountain is gone. You understand what I'm saying? So God even said, matter of fact, I want you to see this with me. Go back to Genesis chapter 11. And I'm guessing on 11, so. Yeah, it is 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, they had bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. Now, what is they're doing? They are thinking. You understand that? They haven't done this yet. They are expressing their thoughts. And they're envisioning in those thoughts what they're going to build. Do you understand what I'm saying? They haven't committed to paper yet. They haven't drawn any blueprints for it. But they're thinking they're going to build a tower that goes up to heaven. And with this tower, which they're thinking about in their head, they are going to build something from it. So they're going to go from a thought to an action. Everybody with me on that? All right. Now look what it goes on to say. With its top in its heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people. They have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Now, what's he saying? This is only the beginning. What does that mean? There's more to come. These people are thinking this way right now. And they are acting on what they're thinking about, and they're accomplishing what they were thinking about. Everybody see that? This is not born-again people we're talking about. This is unsaved, really unbelieving people. Everybody with me? So he's giving them credit for the being able to think something, act on that something. They're envisioning that thing. Everybody see what I'm saying? Let's go on. This is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. I want you to think with me what he just said. This is the Lord speaking about people. And what did he just say? That what they think and what they envision, they can do. And nothing will be impossible for them. Everybody follow that? I always like this story that Michael Jordan told. Michael Jordan was a basketball player with the Chicago Bulls. Great player. Just fantastic player. Every new draftee to the NBA wanted to play against Michael Jordan. They wanted to be the guys that finally showed Michael Jordan up. They dethroned the king. Well, one particular individual was playing against Michael that night and was getting pretty rough with Michael. And through the course of the evening, he fouled Michael. Michael went to the free throw line, and he bounced the ball a few times. Then he looked back at the kid and said, "Now this is the way it's done." Bounced the ball one more time, closed his eyes completely, fired the free throw, and swished it. The guy looked at him and said, "Chance." Swished it a second time. Guy went to Michael later and said, "How do you do that?" And he said, "Because I've done it in my mind a million times. I have rehearsed that as much in my mind as I have on the floor. Matter of fact, more on my mind than I have on the floor. I have watched it. I have watched my hand movements. I've watched the arch of the ball. I've watched where it has to hit. I know how much pressure I have to put on it. I practice that all the time. And then when I get onto the court, I shoot it again, just like I practiced it." Why? Because there is something within us, kids, and the Lord admits that here. We are made in the image of God. It is twisted. Everybody see what I'm saying? But it's still the image of God. And what He can do. Listen, how did He create this? He thinks it. He sees it. He speaks it. It's done. Everybody with me? Now, I'm not trying to give us divine powers. That's not what I mean at all. But you are in the image of God. And this is what God said would take place. Everybody with me on where I'm at? Okay. Yes. The whole Trinity, they're down there. They're going to confuse this whole situation. And you know the rest of the story there. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of the whole earth. Now that's, I wish I had more time to go with that one. Verse 8, what did he say? The Lord dispersed them. Not they dispersed them. The Lord dispersed them. Yes, that's exactly right. I'm just simply saying this. How quickly did he disperse them? You know, when we think about it, one of the things we've tried to do is say this is going to take ages because all those people had to go from the land of Shinar and they had to walk all that distance, all the way down Africa, all the way but then they had to walk all across land bridges. I mean, they got to walk all the way from basically Iraq And they have to walk all the way up through Siberia, all the way up over into China and Russia and parts over there, and then find this land bridge that goes across to North America and come down there. What if that's not the way it was done? What if he moved them? What if he picked them up and moved them? Now you say that you're speculating. Yes. Don't go from here tonight and say this is the word of God. I am speculating. But here's the funny thing. A number of Native American people have called North America Turtle Island. Turtle Island. Now, why would they call it Turtle Island? Pictures from space can make it look like a turtle. You have the tail in Mexico. You have the body of Canada and the rest of North America forming a shell-like situation. Then you got this arm of Maine that goes out this way. And then you've got a gulf or a bay that has a bunch of land that looks this way. You've got Florida that goes down this way and the Baja that goes down this way. It can look like a turtle. Like you're looking down on a turtle. Now, how would they have known that? Unless they had seen that. That's called speculation. It has nothing to do with our faith. Okay? So don't let your faith rest in it. I'm just noticing that the Lord dispersed them. Now, let's go back to reality again, shall we? What's the source of thought? Watch this. The mind is not a moral agent. It follows through on whatever desire you want it to. Your conscience may warn you, but the mind pursues what you tell it to focus upon. And here's what I mean. If you tell the mind, I'm bitter and I want to be bitter, the mind doesn't say, we don't do bitter. We only do sweet thoughts. We're not doing bitter thoughts. That's not true. You know yourself. If you want to be bitter, your mind will rehearse that for you. And it's your servant. That's what it's made to do. It's made to think over the things you want to think about. Okay? So if you want to think over how bitter I am, I tell you that the mind creates tracks for bitterness. So it has a whole file of bitter things. So every time you say bitter, or let's say this, you say, I am such a failure. The mind, not a moral agent, doesn't say, oh, no, you're not, no, of course not, you're not. It says failure, do you mean failure? Okay. Here's the file on failure, sir. And it opens the file. Here's 1962 when you failed. Here's 1974. And this is where you'd had a business that failed. And this is where you promised your mother you'd do something. You didn't do it. And remember this. Because your mind is your servant. You told it, I want to find all the times I failed. It just did what you said to do. Some of you are teachers. You're dealing with students who are going through it all the time. I can't do that. I can't do math. I can't do this. What are they telling you? They brought it up, and the mind said, oh, math? Yeah, I remember math. Here we are. All the times that you can't do math. And there they are, all displayed for you. Because the mind's not a moral agent. It wasn't looking on what's right or wrong. It wasn't looking whether this is going to depress you. It wasn't looking whether it's going to make you happy. You told it to find this stuff. And it did. Does that make sense? Do you see where I'm coming from on this? This is kind of important because as we're basing this, well, I think you see as we go through. Number two, the mind is a servant to the flesh and will do what it is bid to do. A mind surrendered to the flesh and not to the Spirit of God will sin and displease God. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 8 says the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind is death. It's a mind set on the flesh. It can't do anything else. And it's not some evil. It is simply rehearsing what it knows to rehearse. Okay? Number two, letter B. When temptation arises in a person, if that person keeps or owns that thought, he will finally act on it. That's what James chapter 1 says. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For no man is tempted of God. He's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. And when lust has conceived, it brings forth death. Well, in order for something to conceive, that is, there has to be a gestation period. It doesn't matter how long the gestation period. I just want you to see there's a gestation period. That a conception takes place, and that thing's not an adult. It has to have opportunity to gestate, to mature, to the point of its birth. Okay? So, in other words, when you are tempted, the only way it can conceive is if you allow that thought to find place. When that thought finds place, you meditate over it. You think about it. You think about it. And you think about it. And you think about it. Now, and sometimes that's really good. Sometimes when you're thinking about a vacation, get stuck in there and your mind now rehearses vacation. And it starts telling you all that you, every picture you look at, oh yeah, it's got a beach. Oh, it's going to be, ooh, beach. Little tubby here. I've got to get my, want to look better. You know, I've got to get a new suit. Oh my goodness, I can't go to a beach with the swimsuit I got now. It says, da da da. You follow where I'm coming from? It's rehearsing it all. Okay. Letter C. The mind records through electric circuits in the mind the things which you think about or do most often, so that with the right trigger they can be brought up immediately. This is how habits work and become a part of you. Okay. The mind can be controlled or harnessed. You are not the servant of your mind. It's the other way around. Just because a thought arises, you do not have to keep it or even feel guilty about it rising in you. Look, you are not always the source of your own thoughts. Sometimes the adversary can give you thoughts. Sometimes God clearly gives you thoughts. You didn't think them up. God gave them to you. And sometimes you do think up thoughts. I'm hungry. What am I hungry for? Guess what? I'm starting to think of all kinds of things I could be hungry for. I'm envisioning things I'm hungry for. I'm thinking about, wow, I could stop at Panera on the way home and pick up something to eat. I'm already now thinking about what I'm thinking. You see what I'm saying? All right. The mind can be controlled. Letter B. If, however, it is a sinful thought and you camp on it, you are responsible for it. As soon as you let that thought stay, it becomes your thought. Okay. You can tell your mind to stop that thought and it will. David did this several times in the Psalms. He spoke of his soul as if he was outside looking in. And I just picked up some of those. Let me just kind of share what some of those times that David said. Listen to what he says here. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now, here his mind is cast down. And David is speaking to his own mind. He's saying, no, stop that. Hope in God. In other words, stop what this disquieted thinking is and start with this thought. Isn't that beautiful? That's what you can do. All right. And David made several of those statements all in Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. Here's one. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. He's observing his soul. He's able somehow to look and see what his thought life is. How do you do that? Are you standing outside? Some guys call this, it's the witness. That there you can step outside yourself for a moment, look back and witness what you're doing. And say, that's just wrong thinking. I'm not going to think this way anymore. Stop that. Okay, so you can tell your mind to stop doing that. All right. I'll move along. You can tell your mind, or let's see, letter D, we have all had times when an emergency arose and the thought we were having just left. I know one night we were in here, July 16, 2014. I had been preaching and teaching. I'd been thinking about that. And when I finished thinking about that, someone walked through that door and said, your son just had a motorcycle accident. And he's at the hospital. I can tell you, I wasn't thinking about what I taught at all. It was the furthest thing from my mind. By the end of that evening, I wouldn't be thinking about anything except what a horrible night this was. He was gone. That changed everything. And I think all of you have been through emergency situations yourself where the thing you were thinking about changed that quickly. Something can control the way you think, all right? If you haven't experienced it yet, you can have moments of distracted thinking which you forget what you had begun to do. Now, if you've not experienced this yet, I have. I've reached the age where that's an honor. I now can think, oh, my goodness, I've got to go get some a roll of paper towels from downstairs. So I head down to go get the paper towels downstairs. 4 steps later, I'm thinking, why was I going downstairs again? Oh, I remember. Yeah, I've got to put my Bible back up. Why was my Bible out? Oh, look at that. Somebody's got the TV on. I'll go turn the TV. Wait a minute. I want to see what that program is. I am so far from the paper towels. I have to go back upstairs, go back to the same place, look again for a moment and say, oh, there's paper towels. And then I head back downstairs again, only to go, what was I going for? So you do what elderly people do. You write it on your hand, paper towels. And you take off down the steps and you go, paper towels. And you get down there and there are none. All right. Letter F. Many of us have been driving without thinking about driving, but about something else. Distracted driving can injure or kill. You ever done that? Yeah. As a motorcyclist, I am particularly wary of people who like to text or do all kinds of things with it. Spiritual warfare in your thoughts. Now, here we go. As messengers, angels deal with communicating, and thoughts are what is communicated by language. So, angels frequently communicate with mankind. This may be one of the sources of dreams, visions, daydreams, fantasizing, and that sort of thing. In other words, they give you thoughts. And they watch your behavior to know what you might be interested in. If you struggle with cigars, I'm going to tell you, they can give you a thought about a cigar. They can give you a smell about a cigar. They can remind you about a favorite beverage you're having when you have cigars. You understand what I'm saying? Give you the smell of it and trigger you off just like that. And then thoughts are passed on to humans, and the effect of that thought is dependent upon the ownership of those thoughts by the one to whom the thought has been communicated. If those thoughts are owned and not dismissed as sin, it allows the adversary's servants to say, oh, that's wrong. That should be possessive. To set up a camp and build a foundation for a stronghold. Okay? If strongholds are built in us, it is increasingly difficult, but not impossible, to regain good biblical thinking again. We have seen from our study that the soul possesses gates that allow thoughts to pass through or be rejected. These gates are the entry for wrong thoughts or correct thoughts. You do control what comes in and whatever it says. Okay? But it is also true, so the thing I want to get at with spiritual warfare is that the adversary's henchmen are always wanting to pass on defeating thoughts to you. Anything to keep you defeated, distracted, any other way to keep you from doing offensive warfare. If they can just send you propaganda, if they can just send you flyers about something that's going to be happening, if they can just send you junk thoughts, it will keep you distracted enough that you won't be on offense, that you won't remember you're in spiritual warfare. Okay? But it is also true that the Holy Spirit passes on thoughts, enlightenment, visions, warnings, and promptings to the mind of believers. He is our aid in witnessing as he brings to our mind what needs to be said in a witnessing opportunity. It's amazing sometimes what the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind when you begin to talk to somebody about the living God. Verses that you didn't know you had memorized are up now, and they're coming back up in your conversation. Letter E. As we've seen before, the Holy Spirit gives us reassuring thoughts that lead to solid faith. He provides for us the foundation for the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is being able to see a thing answered as if it was already answered before it happens. Okay? So the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us reassuring thoughts that lead to solid faith. We are to guard our hearts in regards to what thoughts we allow to enter into it. We are told in several places, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is that? That's about the kind of thoughts you should have in your system. And when you have those kinds of thoughts in your system, those lead to actions. Those lead to moods. You know, how can you rejoice in the Lord and rejoice in the Lord again? You are thinking about what you have to rejoice in the Lord about, and you rejoice, and once you start rejoicing, it happens again. Ever see where I'm at on that? So the Holy Spirit's doing that, and we're to guard our hearts that way. And then letter G, we are told to think on the right things, that is, allowing them entrance and inviting them to stay, to grow in grace and renew our minds. That's what's supposed to happen. Now, questions or thoughts or comments about what we've talked about so far here? You see the power of thoughts, right? You know that thoughts are what's going to lead to actions. And those thoughts are extremely important. Now let's go to this. Bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Though you cannot control the presence of thoughts, you can control what you let in. We are told to test the spirits, 1 John 4, 1-3. So you're always supposed to test them, see what the nature of that spirit is, just before you believe it. Because by believing it, you're going to own that thought. You understand what I'm saying? You're going to own that thought. That's what believing is. It's taking possession of a thought and keeping it. Okay? So before you let that thought come to reside in your brain, your mind, look that thought's source over. If that source is not saying Jesus Christ is Lord, then you be real cautious about how much ownership you give that thought. Everybody follow that? Be real cautious. There's some things that's probably not going to bother you too much. You're going to have to remember geometric axioms. Okay, what's the source of those? Well, for the believer, the source of all geometric axioms is that Jesus Christ created all that. That angles and light and everything physical, Jesus Christ created that. So I'm simply looking at what Jesus Christ created. I can own that thought, giving credit to God for having given that principle to look at. Algebra. I can do the same thing. Algebra is his way of signifying relationships to other things. So I can look at it and say, that's what God created. I can own it. It's not going to be a problem to me. The earth is round. I can own it. God created it that way. That's not a problem to me. Everybody understand where I'm coming? It's different than worldliness. Okay. So letter B. We are also told in 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22, we are told to test all things, hold fast what is good. That's ownership. I'm holding fast what is good, and I'm abstaining from every form of evil. So I'm taking an evil thought, something that doesn't have a good source, pushing that puppy right back out. I don't want you back in this gate, sir. Out you go. So you push it back out. And as our Lord Jesus Christ showed us to do, we're to use verses. Use the Bible against that thing. That's not a wrong thing. That's a good thing to do. It's great to memorize Scripture so that you can use those verses against the adversary. Okay, and then under letter B, that should have been Roman 1. If you are in a group of people that is sponsoring that thought, excuse yourself to regain proper thinking. Look, if you're in a group of people and you know that they're all starting to think wrong kind of thinking, if they're just thinking, let's just say they're starting to think cruel thoughts about somebody else. Man, that's wrong thinking. You don't want to be a part of that. So excuse yourself and leave the group. You don't have to hang around for that. And then the second one, letter B, small letter B, if you cannot leave the group, begin immediately to recite verses that are true about Christ and your relationship to him. Go ahead and recite those to yourself. I'll say, get into the group and say, did you know John 3:16 says? And then start quoting John 3:16, or let me give you a passage of Deuteronomy 28. You know, that's not what I mean. You're saying them to yourself. You're reciting those verses to yourself. Letter C, control the source of the thought and avoid it if possible. What if it's coming across the TV? Turn it off. Change the channel. If it's coming across that way, you are in control of the source. You don't have to sit there and listen to it. I turned on the other day for the kids. My grandkids were visiting the house. They wanted to see something on TV, and it wasn't a pretty day outside. So we turned on the TV, and we start watching what I thought was a kid's show. within 3 minutes, there are some foul words coming from it. They're clear to me. This is not a kid's show. And so Char looks at me and I said, don't worry. Off it goes. Why would I have that vile thing vomiting in my house? I don't need that. But I'm in control of it. You understand what I'm saying? Just because it's part of the show, you don't have to do that. Click it off. Okay. Then the last big C, the biblical pattern for breaking a habit is also the pattern to change one's mind. You stop the bad thought and replace it immediately with a biblical thought. All right. So that's how you bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You, at least you have an understanding of where thoughts come from. You know that you're not responsible for every thought that comes in. Some thoughts come to you that are not your own. God can give them. Other people can give them. Satan can give them. His adversaries can give them. Or you can think them up yourself. Sometimes they come to you from information centers. I honestly have just quit watching some of the things on Facebook. I just don't. Matter of fact, I really don't like Facebook very much at all anymore. There's just so much of it. I like being able, I like talking with the youth group. I like being able to have some communication with some of the people around. But honestly, there's so many of my friends' posts I'm just passing by. Because I'm looking and saying, why do I need that? This is brambles and briars. And I know that if you're going to walk in a bramble and briar patch, you're going to get cut. That's just the way it is. I don't need to be cut. My blood's good. It needs to stay inside. It doesn't need to be coming on the outside surface. Comments, questions about what we've talked about? It does. It does. Everything we do by faith rewires our minds. Everything. We ought to get excited. Again, I want to make sure we do this. In spiritual warfare, we want to be on offense, not simply defense. Because that makes the enemy sound like he's so strong and powerful, we're always just cowering in a corner someplace, hoping the day he doesn't get us. Why don't we go on offense? Why don't we study the Word of God and make it so much that, how is it Spurgeon said, that when you bleed, it's bibline. You know, it's just Bible that comes out of you when you bleed. What if somebody took the Word of God so seriously that we wanted to make that what our speech was? Now, when it came out, yeah, okay, so it was coming out in 21st century Arkansas. But it's still the same thing. It's the Word of God coming right back out. Because that's what we took in. All right. You guys are gracious to listen as long as you do. I really appreciate that very much. Let's control our thought life. Let's make it work. All right. Do you mind if I dismiss this? It's already 8:10. I'm sorry. Father, we really need you. We admit that very openly. Our lives have been stained by sin and we've been twisted by iniquities, but I want to thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ has taken them all himself and we've been straightened. Thank you so much for the love of God that's in our hearts, for the grace of God that's in us, for the joy of the Lord that's in us, for the work that you're doing in us, for the root that the Word of God takes in us and builds such a strong foundation in us. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Spirit of God. Thank you for the Son of God. Thank you, Father, that you've given us this wonderful gift of prayer that we can talk with you. You are so awesome. And we love you for just the sheer wonder that you are. How you thought these things, how you've made us to think things, and how you've made those thinking things turn into action. You sure are awesome. Now, Father, in the name of Christ, we ask that you would minister to the people that we have great thoughts for. I thank you, Father, for the people we find in this prayer sheet tonight, like Harold Steve, Ruby Francis, Dave Wells. For our brothers and sisters, Father, who are going through struggles right now. For some who are sitting with us right here go through struggles. Thank you for the struggles. For we know in those struggles and in that suffering and in those bad things that we think of was your grace given to us, your delivery given to us, and our faith is built. So we want to thank you for our weaknesses. Thank you for the things you're working through those weaknesses because your strength is made perfect in weakness. Now thank you for the circumstances we're going to be going through this week. Help us to have the right mindset for them and to overcome, for we are more than overcomers through him who loved us. Now, thank you for what you're going to do as you dismiss us with your grace and peace tonight. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.